We started investigating and finding out about cannabis as a potential option. And I was quite leery of it because I came from the mindset that, marijuana is a drug. I don't know about the gateway business, but everyone I knew who used cannabis also used other drugs, for the most part. So I just kind of lumped it all together there. But then a friend came to town. In fact, I made her go out in the garage to smoke because it was like, I don't want that disgusting thing in my house. And I went out there and I said, oh, let me have a puff. What the heck? I hadn't tried it in, 20 years or whatever. And so I took two puffs and became very angry because my pain went away. And it's like, why did nobody tell me all these years and all these drugs and all the suffering I've been through that I could take two puffs off this and have my pain go from like a level 9 to a level 2 and no side effects, no constipation, no stomach upset. No, I mean, on and on and on. And I said, this is wrong. This is just wrong. But on the other hand, I'm going to do some more of this.
What a great introduction from that incredible band out of San Francisco, Daytime Nightlife. Hello and welcome to the Medical Pot Guide, your connection to the people who are making the news in the world of medical cannabis. My name is Jim Jensen, and I'll be your host for this weekly podcast. And I am very excited about today's show. First of all, this is the very first Medical Pot Guide podcast, something that has become a passion of mine. To get the word out about the present use and unbelievable potential for medical cannabis. And also, I am very excited to have as my very first guest, Mara Gordon. Mara is the co-founder of Aunt Zelda's, a private, mutual benefit, nonprofit collective committed to helping chronically ill patients maximize the benefits of cannabis. Mara is also a popular speaker in the area of cannabis and cancer, and has presented at several CME-accredited conferences, as well as conferences around the world. She has accumulated significant data on patient dosing protocols and has developed a software solution to guide physicians in prescribing cannabinoid therapies. So without further ado, let's go to the interview.
Mara, welcome to the Medical Pot Guide.
Thank you for having me, Jim. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us. I feel honored to have you as one of our very first guests. So let's dive right in. You come from a very technical background. Tell us the story of how and why you transitioned from the IT manager at Safeway to developing medicinal cannabis extracts and co-founding Aunt Zelda's.
Good question. I was a process engineer and involved in my background is in methodology and helping to design very complex systems. And I was very successful at it and enjoyed it very much. And then in 2003, I want to say, 2003, the repercussions from a previous bacterial spinal meningitis that I'd had in 1996, the repercussions of that illness had gotten to the point where I no longer was able to manage any of my pain or my symptoms that I had as a result of the meningitis. And I collapsed at work one day. Collapsed as in the fact that my legs went out from nerve damage from under me, and I was like quite embarrassed by that, to say the least. And later that night, I went to the hospital. My husband insisted, we got to take you. When I got out a week later, I was had been put on permanent disability and told that I could not return to work. I went home from the hospital on fentanyl patch and morphine and a whole slew of other drugs that they had put me on. And then just like, you know, this is your life. Get used to it. Here's a wheelchair, wow. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't really suit me very well, but I, you know, went ahead with that kind of, you know, acceptance of that for a while. And then when I found out I was going to be a grandmother, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I want to be awake. I want to be alert, you know. And so we started investigating later on. My husband had needed back surgery, and he's sober, and so he was not interested in going on the opioids either. We started investigating and finding out about cannabis as a potential option. And I was quite leery of it because I came from the mindset that, you know, marijuana is a drug. I don't know about the gateway business, but everyone I knew who used cannabis also used other drugs, mm-hmm. you know, for the most part. So I just kind of lumped it all together there. But then a friend came to town. In fact, I made her go out in the garage to smoke because it was like, I don't want that disgusting thing in my house. And I went out there and I said, oh, let me have a puff. What the heck? I hadn't tried it in, you know, 20 years or whatever. And so I took two puffs and became very angry because my pain went away. Why did nobody tell me all these years and all these drugs and all the suffering I've been through that I could take two puffs off this and have my pain go from like a level 9 to a level 2? And no side effects, no constipation, no stomach upset, no, I mean, on and on and on. And I said, this is wrong. This is just wrong. But on the other hand, I'm going to do some more of this. So we did a controlled, and this may be way more than you want to know, but we did a controlled study. I mean, being an engineer, of course, I wrote every single thing down. I weighed every dose. I, you know, kept track of how it affected me, how it affected my husband. And we went to, I guess what pretty much most people do, we were in the East Bay at the time, we went to Harborside and we got edibles. Now this is years ago and yes, the quality and the labeling has gone up, you know, considerably. But at the time, you know, it was a Rice Krispie treat wrapped in, you know, cellophane. I mean, it was nothing. I mean, it was like, you know, 1 to 20 doses. Like, what does that even mean? So, and no testing or whatever. So we went up to Oregon to the same friend that had been visiting. Mm-hmm. And she arranged for us to buy 2 ounces of triple X chem dog from a granny grower
triple
friend.
Triple X chem dog.
The names of these things are unbelievable. And I came back with no direction because what was available on the internet back then was, you know, they had a few forums where people would throw a few things out, but there was nothing really technical at all. And that was like nobody talked about decarboxylation and nobody talked about how to dose. So I made it into some oil, infused it into some oil and baked. I was looking for a recipe in my recipe book that used the most oil, and it was my Aunt Zelda's carrot cake.
Because
because carrot cake is so much of it's just oil, yeah. You know, so much of the main thing of it is. And so it's like, okay. And because my father had been a baker, I knew about how to make the oil, you know, the moisture distribute evenly throughout so that it's the same at the edges as it is at the center and all those things. And I started thinking, okay, I know I put this much into it, and I know that the cake weighs this, and so if I cut into these, it's just math. I can figure out how many milligrams are in each piece. So I, you know, cut it up into all these pieces, and my husband froze it, and every night we would take out a piece each, and we would eat it, and we would go to bed, and we would sleep through the night, and it was amazing. What we'd had from, you know, the dispensaries was like one night, be up all night with nightmares, another night the next day you couldn't even move, and all of a sudden we were having consistency. Well, people started saying, wow, you guys are doing great. What are you guys doing? and telling him about it. And I decided to start making the infused oil. And it was like, instead of building everybody a house, I'll just give them the lumber. Mm-hmm. I'll just, you know, make them the oil, and they can either put it in something if they want, or they can just take it straight, which I recommend. Who needs the extra sugar and gluten and garbage that goes into treats? Plus the fact that the bioavailability is quite different from ingestion versus sublingual. So anyway, so very, very long story, not very short. I became whoever, right place at the right time in history, mm-hmm. where, you know, first one to kind of ask the questions about dosing and milligrams. And, you know, we lab tested everything from the very beginning so that we knew what was in the medicine back when, you know, people weren't doing that. And then, you know, I just thought, you know what, at the very beginning, I had this dream of empowering the medical community to be in charge of this, to offer it so that what happened to me doesn't happen to somebody else. Like, if that doctor had known that cannabinoid therapy was a viable option, would they have sent me home on fentanyl patch? You know? And so how can we get them to where there's a confidence level that a medical professional can prescribe effectively and with confidence? And so we've been working towards that and building this solution all these years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So what does Anzeldas look like now, the company?
Well, we have a parent company called Cazawell. And Cazawell owns, I don't know if Anzeldas is because it's a mutual benefit nonprofit corporation. I'm not sure exactly the legal structure on how that works. But we have a company called CaliSpring Wellness. And that's where we employ doctors to actually see patients and help. We've trained them in cannabinoids and understanding how to work with it. And then they can work with patients effectively. And so we have that. We have the CDR Med software, which stands for Cannabis Desk Reference. CDR Med, we've formed a joint venture with New Frontier, the big data company, to disseminate and get the data out there and make it available. We have now got a company in Australia called Zelda Therapeutics that has been formed and is going to be on the stock exchange for straight for doing clinical trials. It's strictly for raising the money to do clinical trials. So it's like a biotech company. And they all interweave in the fact that, you know, we use the software for all the data collection and dissemination. And then we make, of course, Anzeldas makes all, you know, we have all of our own products that we make ourselves. And I say we. Yeah. It's been a while since I made any. And then we just use those to guide our patients. Yeah.
Wow.
Sometimes we guide patients that are using other people's medicines. As long as we have lab results, we can, you know, reliable lab results, we can dose anything.
So you can have a lot more control over it.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, that's fascinating. So what is the approach that you use for working with chronically ill people? How do you determine the best protocol to help with their specific conditions?
Well, yeah, it's a very good question because, you know, a lot of it obviously is hit and miss, but it's an educated hit and miss at this point. It's mm-hmm. a much, much likelihood of what's going to work than not. Part of it is that we do a very, very thorough examination of the scientific literature that's out there on whether it's preclinical, in vivo, or whether it's, you know, anecdotal. Most of what we look at is scientific, not as much anecdotal, though. And so we know, like, the pathways, for example, of the way the illnesses work. And we know that, like, for example, the CB1 receptors are primarily within the central nervous system, and CB2 are primarily within the immune system and peripheral organs. So we know that, okay, if somebody comes to us with a central nervous system disorder, or, you know, or they come to us, that we know that, okay, our first go-to is going to be a higher THC. And then we have found over the fact that we've been treating all these patients for 5+ years now, hundreds of patients,
wow.
We've learned that the younger the patient, the higher the dose, the higher target dose, because the metabolism is much quicker on children. and they metabolize the medicine much more quickly, and they need a higher dose to accomplish the same thing. We might have, and one of the things that I do in my presentations is I show, like, here's a diagnosis of a glioblastoma multiforme, and here it is on a 2-year-old, and here it is on an 88-year-old, and here is it on these group of people in between, and these are their doses. It's not an exact, because cannabinoid therapy is very much individualized. However, it's certainly a trend.
So are most of your delivery methods oral?
Sublingual.
Sublingual?
The vast majority of ours are sublingual, yeah.
Because I have heard that there are, like, patches out there. And
there's transdermal patches, and some people find that they have success with those. And, I mean, I've known a couple of women that have used those for menstrual pain. You know, I don't... The technology is still evolving.
Okay.
You know? I mean, the new ones that are out are better than the first ones that were out.
So they're more predictable.
Right. And I think that the bioavailability has increased, but you still have the highest. And when people have, you know, it depends on what you're treating, what you use. I mean, it's like to a hammer, everything's a nail.
Right.
You know, and we're not a hammer. You know, we look for what is the best solution for this particular situation, not we've got this, so how is it going to work?
So what are the more common chronic conditions that you have successfully treated with the
Well, we treated a lot of cancer, and cancer is certainly chronic. Yeah, because once you got it, you got it. You know, we don't ever use the C word for cure, because we don't believe that you can cure cancer. We believe that you can kill cancer, and you can treat cancer, and you can get rid of it, but you have to do things to keep it away, or it comes back. So we've been, I feel, quite successful in the cancer protocols that we've been working with and treating patients. We treat a lot of pediatric, but we treat a lot of geriatric too, and everything in between. We get people with, you know, we've been treating a lot of, like, Parkinson's and fibromyalgia, which is kind of a generic sort of diagnosis of elimination. So many, I mean, a lot of Crohn's, IBS.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's amazing. It's a miracle for people. And I don't use that word in the, you know, hey, seeing, you know, lightning come out of the sky, but it truly is a remarkable option for people with Crohn's and irritable bowel. I mean, it really does phenomenal things. I mean, I've witnessed it with my eyes sitting here with somebody who came to us and they were, like, gray, you know, just so, you know, horrible coloring and sick and shaky and miserable. And gave them a little bit of the cannabis, and just watched the color return, the life return, the health over time to increase. And as long as they keep up their dose, I mean, I hear people saying, oh, it cures Crohn's. No, it doesn't. Once again, if you don't keep using it over time, it might put it in remission for a while, but it'll come back. So you need to do a prophylactic treatment on it. But, I mean, we have a whole slew of different things. We work with hypertension, intractable nerve pain, epilepsy, of course. So there's just as many as there are the things that people get sick with are things that people come to get treated for.
Wow. So have you had any pushback from the traditional medical community on this?
Pushback.
How have they received?
Well, one thing is we're extremely respectful of the medical community and the way that we approach this. We don't have an us versus them. We are going to empower you to do a better job treating your patient is pretty well our attitude, because at the end of the day, it's their patient, it's their responsibility. And so we do a lot of educating. I go all over the world talking to doctors to educate them. We've had patients whose doctors were not in favor of what we're doing. And then when they see the results, they do a 180. It's the whole gamut that you would expect. And the others that just, the patients, the hardest ones for me are when the patient just makes the decision not to tell their doctor that they're doing cannabinoid therapy and Because number one, it's a missed opportunity to educate. And number two, there are things that we have to look for in treatments, in traditional treatments, that if a doctor doesn't know about, he won't know to look for, or she won't know to look for.
Wow. Are any of these treatments covered by any kind of insurance yet?
I wish, but no, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's Schedule One, after all. Remember, it's think of heroin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, which is infuriating. Thank you, President Nixon. So I was in tech for a considerable amount of time, so this next question is because I'm so curious. I read that, and I want to make sure I get this question right. I read that when you worked as a process engineer, you helped companies create intelligent software by something called the Rational Unified Process.
That's right.
Which you then used in your approach to the medical cannabis. What is the Rational Unified Process, and how do you apply it in the development of cannabis extracts?
Well, Rational Unified Process is an iterative form of development where you start out, you have different phases of the development process, and you create use cases around. It's a lot of UML modeling, that sort of thing. I don't know if that means anything. It's unified modeling language is used, you know, and you, for the teams. It's not a waterfall where it goes, everybody works together in real time as far as, and you start with the most difficult. Instead of going in traditional development where they go for low-hanging fruit and then they get to the tough stuff, we start with the tough stuff. Because if it doesn't work on the tough stuff, why waste the time and money doing the hard, the easy stuff? So we take the most challenging features first, and it's a remarkable system. It was there's a set of software tools that are associated very, very closely with it, and IBM has purchased Rational now. Unfortunately, after I left Rational, that was a bummer.
Timing is everything.
Yeah, right?
So what were the challenges that you faced by working in an industry that, as you just said, you know, you're working with a Schedule One product, even now?
Banking. The number one problem, if you give me for overspeaking you...
Oh, that's okay.
...is freaking banking.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're performing a service and a product, and there's a monetary, you know, transaction that takes place. How is the patient supposed to pay? And what do you do with the money once they pay? What do you do with it? So you have these ridiculous scenarios like, you know, these dispensaries getting armored cars with, you know, a couple $100,000 a week having to be transported to a safety deposit box or something. I mean, what do you do with it? And, you know, and you have these growers that are still having trouble coming out and living in the light, you know, and joining the fact, the reality of the industry and the fact that it's a, you know, we pay our taxes, you know, everything. So they want to get paid in cash. Well, and then how about your staff? And how do people pay for the medicine? I mean, it's a very big challenge because of the banking.
And is it still?
Huge, huge problem.
Well, I guess with the getting it off Schedule One would be a huge leap to...
Absolutely, right now. Because of the FDIC, even, you know, local banks are afraid of having their... insurance taken away from the feds. Yeah. I'm not really sure what all. Because I know Visa and MasterCard has said that they were willing to issue cards if they could find a bank that would back it. And we haven't been able to find one yet.
Oh, boy.
I know, it's sickening.
So how has your work affected the cannabis, the medicinal cannabis industry as a whole?
My work?
Yeah.
You mean the work of Aunt Zelda's?
Yeah.
I think that we have upped the bar quite a bit on quality. I think that there's other, well, I read, it's so funny because you know how Facebook, I'm not a big Facebooker at all. In fact, I find it quite uncomfortable in some ways for my nature, my personality. But sometimes people will like use my name in a post and so it sends me a notification that they've used it. And I read this one talking to that one about something I said that they need to do. And so it's doing exactly what I want it to do, and it's become bigger than me and my instructions and being passed along so that others. We also, I think, pioneered separating out the THC and CBD dominant medicines from each other. Mm-hmm. We find that that allows us to keep our doses a little bit lower and is more beneficial to see what's working on what with the patients. I just think in general, the fact that we're so, I don't know a better word than saying straight. We're so straight and normal and, you know, middle-aged, or actually way older than middle-aged. I don't plan on living to 114, but that it's like, come on, look at us. I mean, we're just normal people. So the fact that we're not, you know, sketchy, or we're not, you know, we don't fulfill any of the stereotypes that people associate with cannabis, that helps to raise the bar on the expectations from people.
Well, plus you've been traveling the world.
Mm-hmm. Speaking at Harvard Medical School next month.
That's so cool. And it's so good to hear. It really is. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's since I've got into this on so many different levels, I can see it's frustrating seeing how, you know, the existing beliefs and biases and what you really have to work through on that. I think it's really cool. I think it's really cool.
You know, I also feel like, you know, I was put out to pasture, basically. You know, I was basically sent home, drugged, drooling, and being driven around in a wheelchair. Like, go have your life. And, I mean, this is quite a second, third, or fourth act to be able to make the sorts of contributions to the world that I can now, considering that I was kind of told that I wasn't going to be making any contributions to anything.
Yeah.
So that's very, very gratifying.
I would think so.
Yeah.
So, do you have any thoughts on the upcoming California propositions that are for marijuana legalization?
You mean as far as like the Sean Parker versus this one versus that one?
Yeah.
You know what? I would have to say I am not qualified to answer that question. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I think that the drug war is ridiculous. It's a failure. It's a war on minorities and poor people, basically, and it's just wrong and needs to go away. So from that standpoint, I'm very much for whatever is going to decriminalize, legalize, whatever. It shouldn't even be an issue. Now, I do believe that there should be some regulation around the medical. I absolutely do believe it, because I've seen how powerful this medicine can be when used correctly, and I've seen how detrimental it is when it's used incorrectly. You know, you have somebody that comes, I've had instances where somebody has had, you know, oh, my grandma, she tried cannabis and it was horrible, it didn't do anything. Well, if she'd tried it correctly, and it wasn't like some amateur hour who, you know, somebody's become a Facebook celebrity because they, you know, they treated their mother, so now they think they're an expert, and they have, you know, it drives me crazy. And then somebody takes it wrong, or somebody's dog overdoses or ends up in the emergency room. All those things are so detrimental to what we're trying to do. So if it could be regulated in such a way that, you know, with mandatory labeling and dosing instructions and all, I sit on a couple of the committees with APA, American Herbal Products Association, a few of them, in order to help push that. I'm also on the board of ICSB, which is the International Cannabis Standards Board. I sit on a lot of boards. And but these in particular around standardization and labeling, which are so, so key. And that's one of the things I'm really hopeful with the legalization that we'll see.
Well, it also seems like the more states that do legalizations on both fronts is just going to add more and more and more pressure to the federal government to get off their butts and, you know, change the scheduling.
Right. Well, they're doing some pretty sketchy backdoor stuff, it feels like, with GW and some of these patents that they're issuing and things. I'm a little concerned about some of that I'm seeing. But, you know, the jury's out.
Yeah. So we're just about to the end of the interview.
Okay.
Do you have any advice for people who are dealing with chronic conditions that are concerned or scared about trying or using medicinal cannabis?
Same as always, start low and increase slowly. I mean, start like with less than 1 milligram if you can, just so that you can get an idea if your body, how it reacts. I would say to people, the other thing that I stress is if you take a dose and it doesn't do anything, don't take more. Just so this time it didn't work. Next time I'll take a little more. Because if you try to do it now, the other one might kick in right as this other one, you've taken it, and then you've taken too much. So better to have one dosing period where you didn't have any response than to have one that you have too much response. So always start extremely low and make sure that you're only using tested products, demand tested products, and consult a cannabis doctor or nurse if necessary in order to be able to, you know, manage your condition if it's chronic and you need somebody to manage it.
Good advice. So what is the best way for someone to learn more about AntZelda's and to get in touch with you?
The best thing to do is to go to AntZelda's.org and it'll direct to our website. And there's information on there. I believe you can go on there, and of course you can join, and then you'll eventually be given the access then to the back end. And then I think that there's a place there for contact us. And if not, you can always write to me at mara@antzeldas.org.
Oh, very good. Mm-hmm. So Mara, thank you so much for being a guest on the Medical Pot Guide. I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge, wisdom, and expertise with our listeners and me. I know that I learned a lot, and I'm already looking forward to a follow-up conversation. So until then, I wish you good health and fortune.
Thank you, Jim. I really am grateful for the opportunity to be on your show. Best of luck.
Wow. Isn't Mara's story amazing? I have the feeling that we are living in a very historic time. A plant product, which is labeled by our government as a dangerous and addicting drug with no human benefit, literally the same as heroin, is quickly transforming before our eyes into an important medicinal herb with the potential to treat many of the chronic conditions which have been, and for the most part still are, treated with very strong pharmaceuticals, most of which, unlike cannabis, have very serious side effects. My mission is to get this message out to as many people as possible, and I would love for you to join me on this quest. Do you have questions or comments about today's show? Do you use cannabis to treat a chronic condition? I welcome all comments and questions. Just go to the show notes at medicalpot.guide/Mara and leave a comment at the bottom. I would love to hear from you. I will also include all the links mentioned by Mara in this episode. And while at the show notes, be sure to sign up to become a member of the Medical Pot Guide. It's free. And as a member, you will receive The Buzz, which is the official newsletter of the Medical Pot Guide. It's a great way to stay on top of all the latest news and events in the world of medical cannabis. Accept no substitutes. And as a Medical Pot Guide member, you will also get an invite to join us at the Medical Pot Guide private Facebook group. This is a great place to ask questions, exchange ideas, and to meet some amazing people who would love to share their stories on how medical cannabis has changed their lives. Just click on the link at the bottom of the show notes page. And last, but certainly not least, I want to give a huge thank you and shout out to the band Daytime Nightlife, whose music will be featured on the Medical Pot Guide. They're a killer band out of San Francisco that I instantly fell in love with. I will include a link to their entire music and video collection in the show notes to this episode. So be sure to check them out. So until next week, my name is Jim Jensen. Be sure to spread the word about medical cannabis and keep on rocking, my friends.
surprise at all the things that you'll see. Take a walk around the city. Well, there's a fire mixed in the air that you breathe. Well, I can feel it all around me. The thoughts of people that I can't see. It's got me feeling kind of crazy, baby. Sort of something like what? Sort of something like. And she's got me feeling. She always picks me up, but I'm feeling down, 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 down. Time. I took a walk around the city. I was amazed at all the things that I would find. I took a walk around the city. Don't be afraid to say yes to getting high. Well, I can feel it all around me. The thoughts of people that I can't see. It's got me feeling kind of crazy. Sort of something like what? Sort of something like. And she's got me feeling. Come on. She always picks me up, but I'm feeling down, 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 down. She always.